just to close your eyes, and I'm just going to read some words from the Servant King song. From heaven you came, helpless babe, entered our world, your glory veiled, not to be served, but to serve, and give your life that we may live. This is our God, the Servant King. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the Servant King. There in the Garden of Tears, he heavy load he chose to bear. His heart with sorrow was torn, yet not my will but yours, he said. This is our God, the Servant King. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the Servant King. Come see his hands and his feet, the scars that speak of sacrifice, hands that hung stars into space, to cruel nails surrendered. This is our God, the Servant King. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the Servant King. So let us learn now how to serve and in our lives enthrone him. Each other's needs to prefer, for it is Christ we're serving. This is our God, the Servant King. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the Servant King. Let's now take the bread. And the Lord said, this is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now let's take the cup. And Jesus said, this cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. And this moves me into my message for today. But before that, let's just pray. This morning, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here. And we ask that you will speak to each of us and that we will have something to take away and apply in this coming week. Thank you for your love and care for us. Amen. Okay, so the title of my message this morning is Jesus, the Servant King. And what I'm looking at this today is about being a servant. Jesus came and modeled this to us, and we're going to go through a few things. And I'm going to talk about leadership here. And you might say, I'm not in leadership, but we actually are all in leadership in one way or another in circumstances in our lives. It might be our children, our grandchildren, it could be colleagues at work that you come alongside and you don't realize, but you are imparting gems from the Bible about how we are to live, and yet they won't know it's from the Bible, but you just weave it into your conversation. And through this, we will find that we are also servants in those times of helping people that are either under us in direct leadership, as in a business structure, or in conversations that we have with loved ones as we go along. So again, I have used some devotions that I've been doing within this, so for today. So this morning, we're going to look at how Jesus modeled to us how to be servants, equipping us to succeed, committing to growth of others, and cultivating teamwork. And as I said, we hear the word leadership in some of this, but as I said, we can apply this to any part of our lives with the people that we interact with within our sphere of influence, within our daily walk. So the definition of leadership, the action of leading a group of people or an organisation. That's how the Oxford Dictionary defines leadership. In simple words, leadership is about taking risks and challenging the status quo. Leaders motivate others to achieve something new and better. Let's think about this as, oh, sorry, I have covered this already, about being parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, when we have done this all the time with our interaction with little people. We come alongside them and we speak words of encouragement and things to them, or sometimes it might even be words of a little bit of discipline to help mold their little lives, but we're doing this. And in those interactions we have with these people each day. So let's have a look at leaders must be servants. And we're going to turn to Luke 10, 35 to 45. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you are asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those whom they have been prepared. When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be a servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Here in Mark chapter 10, we see James and John asking Jesus to share in his glory by sitting at his right and left hand. In such positions, they would receive both honour and exceptional authority. Jesus sees this teachable moment to reveal something radical about his style of leadership. He explained that the Gentile leaders lord it over their people and they flaunt their authority. But followers of Jesus must walk a different path. Whoever wants to be a leader among you, Jesus said, must be your servant. Now, the Greek origin of this word, more literally, is whoever wants to be great among you must be a servant. The word translated here as servant is diakonos. I don't think I've pronounced that quite right, but it's D-I-A-K-O-N-O-S. And this word refers to a table waiter. A diakonos cared for the needs of others rather than his or her own. It denotes a person who serves in some subservient and humble role. Jesus' vision of leadership must have shocked his disciples. How can a leader also be a servant? This question continues to unsettle followers of Jesus today. All people tend to seek power, position and power rather than the opportunities of humble service. Servant leadership is an anti-cultural today as it was back in the time of Jesus. especially in Australia, everyone's all trying to climb that mighty ladder, aren't they? But we're also ready to try and take people down at the same time. But no one wants to be down the bottom, just doing their thing. Yet when we are in charge of people and we are called to be their servant, we must treat others with respect, care for their human needs, and seek what is best for them. Even as we seek the best for our organization or the situation in which we are in as a leader. Following Jesus' leadership is not easy, but it is our calling as Christians who seek to obey and imitate Jesus. Again, Mark 10:45, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now we're going to look at equipping others to succeed. In the first chapters of the book of John, and you can all turn to John 13:3-17, we'll look at that. We see Jesus doing work that no one else did, making water into wine, giving sight to the blind, and raising the dead. Let's have a look at that scripture now. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into the basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher, Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Here in chapter 13, we read that Jesus does something almost anyone can do, but few want to. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. The practice of foot washing was originally an act of hospitality in homes, performed for the guests by a servant or a wife of the host. You can think back into Jesus' day when you've been walking on those dusty roads, it's been a hot day, and you're just like, ugh, and someone washes your feet. The refreshing that feels, and just making you feel a bit more, I'm a bit more human and normal again, feeling relaxed. So it was quite a significant act. Jesus, who reigns over the entire universe, performs a concrete act of lowly service. In doing so, he shows us the purpose of godly work: to benefit others. Leaders who pattern their leadership after Jesus are called to accomplish Jesus' mandate by meeting the needs of others, especially those we lead. Again, here it is our sphere of influence, and wherever we work, play or interact with others. At my work, we have a younger member of staff who has been given the associate role in our school. We have had many times, and I have been able to come alongside her and give biblical principles in situations so that then she can consider in her decision maybe a different way or look of dealing with a particular situation. Often people just need to see a situation from a different angle to help them make a decision or deal with a particular situation. I am sure we've had these conversations within our daily walk with those that we interact with. Now, we're going to look at servant leaders commit to their growth of other people. Now, I'm not going to read all this passage, but it's 1 Chronicles chapter 11, and we're going to look from verses 10 to 47. So this is King David is providing an example of servant leadership. When David finally comes into his own as a leader, he invests his talent in developing others, contrary to his predecessor Saul, who fears a rivalry. David surrounds himself with a company which exploits the rival of his own, which we look in verses, hold on, let me just go out. Yeah. We look in verses 10 to 47, and here David honors two men who make up as what was called the Mighty Three, which was David and Jehoshabeam, I think, and Eleazar. These were both, Jehoshabeam was the commander of the three, of all the regiments, and then Eleazar was a son of Dohai. And they were called the Mighty Three, which David developed them within their strategizing and how he worked with them in the battles and what they, many that they defeated. And he honors them by, in verse 19, he talks about wanting, they'd just done a battle with the Philistines, and he wants some good water from the well in Bethlehem. And someone brings him water, and he says, God forbid him to drink it, and as it was as precious as the blood of these men who risked their lives to bring it to me. So again, he's honoring his men and what they've done, and he's also obeying God and what he said not to drink the water in that passage. Then he also encourages their fame and promotes them. So there's one particular man in verse 20 to 25. I don't know how to say this guy's name. Ben-Hans. But he is not within the three. He is honored, though. There's 30 men as well. But he is honored from the 30 men because of his exploits with David. He actually, there was a 7.5-foot Egyptian warrior, and this gentleman takes the spear from him and kills him. Now, I don't know what about you, but if that was me, I think I'd be fear and trembling at 5'3", trying to think about that. And I'm sure he was not 7.5 feet. And they were saying the spear was very thick, so it wasn't something easily to carry either. But David honors him in that as well. And then we see in verse 26 where he actually lists and names every person within this time of fighting about him being their mighty men. So God uses David's willingness to sponsor and encourage people to build David's own success, but to bless the people of the realm. So it wasn't only David and the men that also were honored, but then through their triumphs within the battles, also the people under David's care also benefited from this. Servant leaders invest in the growth of those they serve. So we see that in this pattern here. Servant leaders also cultivate teamwork. An essential aspect of work is the opportunity to provide for building relationships. Relationships are an absolute critical component of work itself. Going back to when Adam and Eve worked together in the Garden of Eden. We all depend on one another's work. This interdependence is not a weakness, but a gift from God. In the book of Romans, Paul writes that though we are many members or parts, we belong to one body. He applies this to the work that each of us does in a particular role. We have gifts that differ. He notes that when he names a few of them, we see that there are forms of work: prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, generosity, leadership, and compassion. All of these roles are applicable to work outside the church. For example, prophecy, to proclaim a divine imparted message, or to bring part to something that is hidden, is the ability to apply God's word to dark situations, something desperately needed in every workplace. Ministry is the ability to organize work so that it does in fact serve those it's supposed to serve. Another term for ministry is management. Servant leaders understand the value of each team member in his or her particular role and nurture relationships between team members. In 1 Peter 4:10 it says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully and administering God's grace to its various forms. Servant leaders must balance servanthood and leadership. One challenge of a servant leadership is balancing the selflessness of servanthood with the forthright management sometimes required of leaders. Even as Jesus serves others, he actively addressed problems with his followers when they occurred. His insight should inform our attitude and our leadership position. We shouldn't refrain from exercising legitimate authority or lead timidly. Rather, we should use our position and power to further others' well-being. And let's turn to Matthew 16, verses 21 to 27. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day, be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." And we see also in Philippians 2:3-8, Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. So let's recap. Leaders must be servants. Servant leaders equip others to succeed. Servant leaders commit to the growth of other people. Servant leaders cultivate teamwork. And servant leaders must balance servanthood and leadership. And one of these examples, I think, is often when you're dealing with your children or grandchildren or nieces and nephews, it can be there is a time when you're friends, but there comes a time sometimes when you need to step in and give a bit of tuition on maybe what should be happening here. In the Word of God, it shows us how to be a servant in our walk with Him. Jesus was the ultimate servant who lay his life down for us as a living sacrifice for us all, so we could have eternal life. In Matthew 20:28, it says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom." So I've got a bit of a challenge for you this week in that to look at the situations that you're in and what you're doing and see the moments where actually you are serving. I know that as committed Christians, often we're doing this without ever realizing it, but it's good to acknowledge and see the things that you have done in your week. And so I just leave that with you today.